to have all the board members present, and Superintendent Citrute and Jared Black. We're glad to be at Emory High. We will begin by standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. We will have the consent agendas, the warrants, the minutes for November 2015 meeting, and the financial reports for November 2015. Are there any questions that you'd like to ask Jared?
I have no questions. I make a motion that we accept them as we have received them.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We met prior to this meeting to have the independent auditors give us their report. So we now need to have the approval of the independent auditor's report for fiscal year 2015. I might add that they were in great order according to the auditors, with very few findings, and complimented our financial team at the district office, and we would like to also do that. So any questions about the audit?
I move that we approve the independent auditor's report for fiscal year 2015.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, personnel actions, names for approval.
Yeah, and you don't have any paper for me. I don't have a lot of information. I have two names to approve. Most of you, well, all of you are aware that Mr. Johnson down in Green River left for New Mexico to work, and that we did put Casey Flucky in as interim principal at Green River High, but she also does special ed part-time. Actually, it's full-time, part-time. But in to assist there, we did hire, or proposed to hire, 2 3-hour educational assistants. The 3-hour, John, is that what it was? I thought it was.
Yeah.
I'd like to propose to you the names of Dallas Webster and Kimberly Andrus as educational assistants, special education at Green River High School, to assist in that program.
Okay, are there any discussion? Any discussion on those?
How many hours are they?
Three hours per day each.
I
Julie could tell you about one of them, probably.
Yeah,
Julie.
She's very
That's right.
Oh.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I know both these people. I think they're great choices, and I would move that we approve these names.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have the 2016 board meeting schedule. Has everybody had a chance to look over those? Basically, it's the first Wednesday of the month, with some in the summer on different dates.
There was, generally we moved them up 1 month from the previous year. We did do some reorganizing in January, February, March. Green River High was slated for January. We moved it to March, moved the other two up. That was in anticipation of possible discussion about middle school, ninth grade. We're not sure when that will take place, but it very likely could be there, and we did not want to have that meeting in Green River if we had a discussion, because they're not involved in that part, that move, and so we rearranged those meetings for that purpose. We're not sure exactly when that will be, when there'll be information ready, but so there was some juggling of the Roy of Green River High's meeting down to March rather than January.
All right. Shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
And there was not a need this year to have the June meeting during the day?
There is not, because it's later in the month, and
okay,
the summer conference that I need to go to. So fortunately, we missed that, and it puts it right on the tax deadline day.
The
budget hearing has to be held by the 22nd, so we'll have it right on the 22nd.
Right on the 22nd.
Okay.
I move that we approve the board meeting schedule for 2016.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have the Emory High School and Four Corners Youth Coalition Group, a travel request. Is there someone that's...
Kind of a little bit to tell you about that.
Okay.
So, I'm Ashley Jensen, counselor at the Emory High School. I'm here representing with these girls and Jenny Mingo, the Emory Youth Coalition. So, this is a coalition that's kind of picking up where Governor's Youth Committee Council left off. We are a school-based program, though, so I think that's a benefit. And then we are evidence-based, so we've used Sharp's survey data to make improvements in our school. We're here to seek approval to go on a leadership training in Washington, D.C., February 1st through the 5th. And then just kind of a little bit about the Youth Coalition. I'm really excited about these girls. They've been really awesome and ambitious on things that... making improvements in our school so far, the ideas that they've come up with. Right now we're working on figuring out how to make, to help teachers and parents communicate better. On our last accreditation, that was one of the areas of improvement that we needed to work on for our school. So it definitely ties into our school, the things that we're working on here to make our school better and more likely to pass accreditation, continue passing accreditation, and not have concerns in that respect. So that's just one thing that we're starting to do. We want to do more things within the community and the school level. But it is a student-led group, so the training helps them be better leaders. So they're going to kind of take a turn and talk about the training a little bit.
My name is Aubriana Migliori, and I'm one of the Youth Coalition members. And I'll talk to you a little bit about what we'll be doing at Washington, D.C. So we would arrive there, or the training is on February 1st and 5th, like Ashley said. And there we would be able to listen to key speakers that would talk to us about prevention, intervention, treatment, research, and recovery, about the drug awareness. And also, one of the days we would be able to go to Capitol Hill and meet with congressional leaders that are involved with coalitions nationwide. And we also would be able to meet with our own state legislators and talk to them about what we can do to benefit our coalition and the state and our communities. And we would be learning skills that we would be able to take back to our coalition and our school and our community here, which these girls will talk to you more about.
I'm Courtney Luke, and it will help benefit us as an individual because we will learn to become better leaders, which will help us far beyond high school, far beyond the trip. We can take the knowledge that we get at this training and help us with scholarships, colleges, and even to get a job. So the knowledge that we gain, we will also teach our future generations.
I'm Jasmine Sacco, and our group will benefit from this because we'll be receiving adequate training to encourage our peers and our community. We'll be learning problem solving, leadership, and decision making skills. And the better educated our leaders are, the more efficiently we will be able to make an impact on not only our school, but on our entire community.
I'm Jayla Weston, and if we go on this trip, our youth coalition can grow and become better leaders, and by us growing and becoming better leaders, our school can also grow and become better leaders as well.
I'm Jessica Mason, and as well as the school, it'll also help our community kind of unite it more, and once our community is more united, then our children, our kids, as teenagers, would be able to have more of a firm foundation
I did mention that Four Corners is funding this, so we're not asking for money. We're just asking for permission to the exception of being able to go out of state for travel, and then it is 5 days off of school for these girls, which are very academically good. They've got great academics, and I'm sure they can handle making up class assignments and things like that.
decide who's going with them.
Ashley and I would accompany them.
So how old are you girls?
I'm 17.
I'm also 17.
15.
16.
17.
Cool.
It looks like there's a lot of great things.
I think it's a great opportunity for not only them, but for Emory High School and our school district.
Would you have more
experience
in your group?
So this is these are our leadership, and as they learn what they need to do, they'll pull other kids in from the whole school. Hopefully get everybody to participate.
No boys?
We tried.
Neil was just asking if he should bring that up because he was already teasing me about that. But I went into every English class, so every student was told about joining Youth Coalition. And I had, 16 girls that signed up to be leaders. And these are kind of the ones that have stuck with it through the last few months. So these they're really dedicated. And I have full confidence that they can make a huge impact and that they'll stick with it.
Really good presentation.
Yeah,
yes,
that was
fantastic.
Very nice.
And you all did well.
Thank you.
I think it'd be good to have them report on their trip.
That would be nice.
So you're anticipating taking this number then?
We only have enough for four.
Okay.
And so they're currently going through a competition.
Oh, gosh.
It is very sad because
that is
one of them. I wish it could be more, but with having two leaders, it's just a really expensive trip already.
Sure.
So with originally we were only going to be able to take two girls, and my boss is the money worker, and she was able to make it so we could take two more.
Great.
But she wasn't able to stretch it anymore. It was so bummed.
Maybe another year, huh?
Yes.
Well, and I think it's something in the future we've talked about. Maybe in the summer going to the trainings in Las Vegas. In future years, we can maybe do this again. So I don't think it would be a one-time opportunity. I would hope that we could continue to do things like this in the future. It helps our program, too. It makes more people excited to join if they know that they're going on cool trips, too.
That's true.
So, yeah.
I get some boys next time.
The reason they are able to do this year to get the money to go to Washington, D.C. is because Four Corners, the prevention part of it, has teamed up with Partnership for Success, and they have donated a chunk of money to help this happen. But this is something that only is going to happen this year unless the kids rebuild those funds. So what will happen is Four Corners will subsidize them, and then as the year progresses, they'll do different fundraisers and stuff to build their funds back up, and that's part of what they'll learn there, is how to do that and how to ask for grants for things that the kids in the community need.
Okay.
That's why we felt it was important they go to this training.
Yeah. Sounds like a fantastic opportunity, and obviously you meet the criteria for the chaperones.
Yep.
Right.
I move that we make the exception to the policy limiting the days so that they can go.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, good luck, and we'll hope
to
hear great things from, see great things in our community from you. So, thank you. And you don't have to stay. You're welcome to, but.
Yeah.
No offense, but I've been up since 4:30.
Oh, well, go to bed. Go to bed.
If I got a picture,
oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll stop for that. Oh, maybe they're going to leave. There's our comprehensive guidance counseling.
Oh, there we go.
On the ball and efficient.
Okay, I'm Dana Terry, the other counselor here at Emory High, and I'm going over the counseling report that we need to give yearly and ask for approval for the comp guidance program. I won't go over everything, so it's not so long, but just as you know, last year we had our data project based off our SOAR report. We felt that not enough students were applying for the FAFSA, which is the free application for student or federal student aid. And you can, on our handout, there's a pretty chart. And you can kind of see through our interventions. We encourage more students to do that. We always encourage those at our career and college readiness meetings that we have each fall. We created a $500 scholarship. Mr. Davis helped out with the funding for that, the Money Smart Spartan Scholarship. So we were able, those that completed it, we just did a drawing, we drew out their name, and they got $500. And then we also hold a FAFSA night, but we increased from 28% to 41%. So we did see a big increase. So I would say that was a pretty successful data project. This year we are doing two different data projects, or SLOs, as they're known to the teachers. The first one, we want 75% of sophomore and juniors to develop an academic and career plan. We're going to go in and do an interest inventory using My Next Move, and then they're going to have to research the careers that they're personally interested in, and then also the ones that match their interest inventory. And then we'll go over those in their career and college readiness meetings. The second one is last year we added the machine tool program from Snow College, and so I'm collecting baseline data. This is a kind of a longitudinal data project, and right now I currently have 8 seniors enrolled in that program. I was able to take them down to the manufacturing day at Snow College, which was, it was a lot of fun, and there was a lot of opportunities down there. They met with representatives from Snow College on December 1st, and 2 of those actually received academic scholarships. I will also do a senior exit survey with them, and then call after they graduate to see if they actually did go on to college, to see if that program is working. So, and then on the back of your first page, just as far as our counseling office is concerned, we have seen an increase in mental health referrals. According to their SHARP survey data, the indicators are continuing to suggest that suicide is increasing each kind of, and suicide indicators are increasing each year. So we felt we needed to address that. And one way we've addressed that is through Mental Health Week. We went into the health class and we taught for a full week on some different mental health, just mental health in general. And then we did rejection, compassion, healthy relationships, and stress. Jonathan Farver from Four Corners, he comes up and works with our students. He was able to come up and help present one day, and then we plan on doing a couple more follow-up lessons in the health class. And then health is only a semester, so we'll also do that in the spring for the second semester kids. We are also planning a 2-day lesson on suicide prevention in learning strategies, and sending out a kind of a mental health newsletter to parents to kind of get them involved on their end to help see if they can start doing some preventative measures at home. So we really do want to address that. And then listed below is kind of our career and college readiness and what we've done with each class, the seniors, the juniors, and the sophomores, and you can read through that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you have any questions.
On your first goal, is this not required to have them develop an academic and career plan for sophomores and juniors? Is it not required? Is it just suggested? I'm not...
It is required. Our goal is we are going to use My Next Move, so we're kind of targeting, being more specific and giving them more opportunities, because I kind of feel like we've been lacking in that in the last couple of years. We get busy, and so, but this year we want to go in and use that interest inventory and really kind of focus on those plans. So if a student wants to be a welder, we can like set them up the welding classes here, or try to accommodate with what we offer at Emory High to match their career or their college goals.
So is the My Next Move, is it coordinated with the ASVAB? Because that, isn't that kind of what the ASVAB does?
The ASVAB is an aptitude test, not an interest inventory.
Okay.
So my next move is actually a website. I think Oklahoma State is the one that actually
puts
that out. But it is a national, has a national database, and it shows like outcomes. In Utah, you can look at the different wages compared to like the national.
Okay.
Or if they wanted to move to California, it could show them the different wages.
Okay.
For that career. So
good.
It's very helpful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Any other questions? So we need to approve the program as per your report. Okay.
Sounds great. I hear good things about the counseling
yes.
program, so I would move that we approve this.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for that, and thanks for what you do for kids to try and get them to get the education and the guidance that they need.
Okay, she's going to want it.
Did you have something?
No.
Okay.
Are you?
Came
okay.
back, I thought you had something.
She just didn't want to miss anything. We understand. We will go to the principal's report. Principal Davis, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being
we're glad to be here.
You know I have plenty to say.
Good, we want to hear it.
It's always worth listening
to. Oh, wow. That would be... Okay. Glad you're not psychic.
We appreciate you for being at Emory High School.
That's awesome.
I want to wish you happy holidays as we get a little bit closer. And reflecting back on the school year and the calendar year, just to let you know how fortunate we are to have the facilities that we do, to have the support of the school board and the district office. We all have the same goals in mind, but I think we've figured out how to work together to achieve those goals. So on behalf of the faculty and staff and all of our stakeholders, thank you. Thank you very much. The handouts that I've given you include our student handbook. This we give to our students at registration time. It's our Bible, so to speak. It includes policies, but it also includes a lot of general information that will help students as they kind of make their way through Emory High. Some teacher stories, some club and organization references. It's pretty comprehensive. Also information about our drug testing program, which again, we appreciate the board support on that. We're now into our second full year of that with great success, and it is making a difference, I can assure you. At some point, I may ask to show you some data on that, but I'm not prepared for that tonight. So at your leisure, look through this. If you have any questions, please let me know, and we'd be happy to address those. The presentation is the handout on the inside, and Neil will be happy to know that his play made the cover. So it's only because those guys are in Christmas color, the bright green. So.
It fits.
But it is fitting to include that in this presentation because it was such a quality production, and I may be mistaken, but I think it was one of the highest grossing plays we've done.
Really?
It was.
Just an amazing
really
turnout.
Good.
So it was a huge community project and just awesome entertainment. We all had fun.
Great
going
talent.
That. On the inside, are some of the points of recognition that I'd like to make. You saw some of these girls here tonight. We had three academic all-staters in volleyball this year. CJ Johnson, going left to right at the top. Also Jessica Mason, who made a presentation, and Jessica Olson. Also, all academic All-Staters, our volleyball team did go to state, finished in seventh place. The next row, Travis Felberg, looked so nice at the state.
I'm sorry. I caught that right at the beginning. You didn't know I was the Grand Marshal for the homecoming parade, did you? Actually, I was pulling the cheerleader float. But
either way, you were in the parade.
That's great.
I saw you there flashing that camera, too.
Well, you know, knew it would surface at some point. Travis Felberg, academic All-State in cross-country, and he was at the state meet to get his award. Then we had the homecoming parade, and Kirk was not the Grand Marshal.
Too bad.
He's the Grand Poobah.
We appreciated Kirk and his wife being there. But the significance of it is that this is the first time we've held a parade since Mr. Gordon graduated from high school 25 years ago. It was very impressive.
Yeah.
We just started over at the Aquatic Center and came over to Center Street and up to the high school into the north parking lot. The elementary kids from Castledale came out and watched. And it involved probably half our students who were on floats or in the back of pickups.
That's
and
neat.
Neil had the zombies lined up along the street. It was a lot of fun, and it's certainly something that I would encourage student council to pick up again next year and rebuild that tradition. Also, a picture of our girls' soccer team. The board approved this a year ago. The team came together. Coach Nielsen is here tonight. And not only did they field a fun team to watch, but a team that qualified for the state tournament the first year, which is absolutely amazing. They went on to play one of the better teams in the state in our classification in Mazur Prep Academy. But it was a huge learning experience for these girls. Coach, you want to say anything about it? It was a very young team, I know, a lot of freshmen.
Yeah, we had mostly freshmen and sophomores, but 25 girls involved in a sport that otherwise would have done nothing in the fall, and they really came together and worked hard, and it paid off, as your dad said.
That's good to hear.
And one of the concerns we had, even when we were discussing whether to add another sport, was how it might hurt other programs. Mm-hmm. And it really didn't. The numbers were down a little bit in girls cross country, but I don't think it was because we added girls soccer. I agree with Eric when he says that this provided opportunities for kids who normally wouldn't have been doing anything in the fall. So. The next row, picture of drill team. They're always entertaining. This was a zombie routine they did in our last home game. They also went over to Castledale Elementary during Ribbon Week, I believe, and entertained over there. It was a fun routine, and I think the drill team really enjoyed it as well. Next picture is our boys cross country team, second in state after winning first in our region. Again, a very, very impressive record for these young men, the outcome. The amazing thing to me about our boys cross country team is that not a single one of those boys finished in the top 10 individually, but collectively as a team, compiled enough points to finish second in all of 2A.
Wow,
so it says a lot about team and working together. And this was Christy Guyman and Kirk Robinson, head coaches for our cross country programs. Below that is a picture of our chorus students. This was an early October performance. One of the best I've seen for that early in the year. It had a patriotic theme, honored local military. It was very well done. I hope some of you had a chance to see that. But it kicked off the musical season in great style. I was very proud of those kids. And then last was our football team. I don't know if you know, you probably do, but it's easy to forget. Our football program is in 3A classification. Mm-hmm. Everything else is in a 2A classification, so we're playing much bigger schools. We are on the small end of 3A in football, and we've been knocked around a little bit for the last few years, but this year our team did rise up. We qualified for the state tournament, and we went over to Mount Pleasant, took an early lead. It looked like we were in a position to win that game, and they just kind of wore us out. With these larger teams, they have much more depth. Mm-hmm. They run in units, and many of our football players play both ways, so they just kind of wore us out. But I was very pleased that the football team qualified for state. And it was a team that didn't have a lot of seniors on. It's a young team as well. So, over on the next page, these are SAGE test results. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time with these. Emily High School, collectively, with all that data, earned a C grade. The year before, it was a B grade. That was the first year we were doing SAGE testing. Things have kind of sorted themselves out. I've seen some improvements in a lot of areas with SAGE testing. There's still a lot of frustrations with it. And in a lot of ways, we're still in transition to core math and core language arts. But we did have a passing grade. I didn't feel terrible about it. We're not content to have a C grade. We're working diligently to bring that up. I want to point out a couple of things in the boxes with the green borders around them. These are my additions. These weren't on the state developed report card. In ELA, from 2014 to 2015, our scores went down. It wasn't too long ago when we were doing the old core tests, CRTs, that language arts was far and far above all other tested disciplines, typically in the 90th percentile passing. Those tests were abolished, and we went to SAGE, and language arts dropped dramatically, as you can see, even from the first year, which was a mess with technology. We had a lot of problems getting the bandwidth we needed to even run those tests here, and a lot of kids would be in the middle of an essay and the computer would die off. Mm-hmm. It was very frustrating. Much of that was improved this year, but the score still went down. And if you look at the next box down, I think this was a contributing factor. This is testing opt-out, which was a new phenomenon for us, for all of the state. This was a legislative opportunity for students, parents to opt out of a lot of the testing that we do. And we had in SAGE writing 27 students opt out, in English language arts 33 students, in math 32 students, and then you can see the grades. However, the thing that needs to be noted about those opt-outs in the note at the bottom is that 93% of those students are honor students. And that in a small school where you don't have huge numbers of students taking mm-hmm. these tests, that dramatically skews the results. And so I'm not making excuses, but I think it is a factor to be considered. We don't know, because we're not really allowed to discuss opt-out or or really talk about it unless we're asked specific questions about it. We don't know what's going to happen this year with opt-out. We do have procedures in place. We have procedures for opt-back in place as well. We had a lot of kids initially that came in and said, I'm opting out of everything, including the ACT, which was paid for by the state for juniors and provides essential data for college entrance, for scholarships, things like that. They just, I'm not taking any tests, I don't have to. So once that was clarified a little bit and a little more common sense prevailed, then they started coming back, well, I changed my mind about that. So anyway, please make note of that. But in addition, take a look at the math. Back up the top box, 2014, 25% of our math students were passing the SAGE test. That increased by 5%. Math has been going up and up and up. 25 doesn't seem like a lot, but when we started this, we were at 12%. That's a significant increase, and it is a tribute to the math department, who have worked diligently to figure out the course with no textbooks, by the way, and how to teach the core. And we figured out ways to help kids who struggle with math. And that's a lot of kids, by the way. Mm-hmm.
And remember, these percentages are not scores on a test. That's the percent of students at the proficiency level,
right.
The highest level.
Yeah, threes and fours.
So that's... that's the most common mistake that people make in interpreting those percents.
Exactly. And then also in science, it wasn't too long ago that we had grave concerns about science. It was our lowest scores. And we have figured out through the science department and through the state, finally aligning core standards with core testing. Kids are being tested on what they're supposed to be taught, and look at the difference it makes. This is going up, and from 36 to 44% in 1 year is a huge jump. And the science department feels very good about where they're at, and I would expect those scores to continue to go up. So, the next page is just a little bit more of a breakdown on the same data. There is some comparative data on those bar graphs between language arts, math, and science on the state, district, and Emory High level. And you can also see those SAGE results percentages, as the superintendent pointed out at the top of the page. The next report is the PACE report. This is what used to be No Child Left Behind. And even though the state has a waiver on No Child Left Behind, we still need to do this report as part of that waiver. And this report doesn't grade a school. In the past, the thing I always looked for when I got the No Child Left Behind report was, did the school make AYP or not? Mm-hmm. Yes, no. And if it was yes, nothing else mattered. If it was no, then back to the drawing board. This is not quite as harsh. It has some realistic data. The graduation rate is included here in bar graphs. You see that our school does very well in graduation rate, a tribute to the counseling office, counselors. They build impossible dreams to graduation for kids because they are so credit deficient, but these counselors can find ways to make it happen. They build the pathways for these kids, and we have really high rates. So,
also, just a note that there was a change in the definition of graduation rate. I think it was between the 13-14 and the 14 school year.
Yes.
And so it statewide dropped graduation rates 5 to 10%. So you recognize that on there, but it was a change in the definition of what constitutes graduation rate. And it was a, can't remember if that was a federal mandate. Anyway, the state was required to change their definition, which impacted every school district.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. The ACT scores, as I talked to Diane Carter recently about the ELA scores and trying to pinpoint exactly what had happened along with the opt-outs. And she said, if you want a different spin on it, look at the ACT scores. Look how well we're doing on these ACT scores. Because we're right there at the state average.
Mm-hmm.
In those bar graphs.
Yeah.
And that needs to be noted as well, that our students are doing well. They're being very competitive when it comes to ACT, and we'll continue to work with those. This is one of the major goals of our administrative team. The administrative working with the counseling office is to bolster those ACT scores. I think it's the best indication of how students are doing, quite frankly. Much better than SAGE testing,
mm-hmm.
I believe. And then there's some interesting data under college credit earned, concurrent enrollment. 54% of our students enrolled in concurrent enrollment programs. And another pat on the back, the counseling office, especially Dana, who worked very hard to get concurrent enrollment in our metals program this year, working with Snow College, which required a first right of refusal with USU Eastern. It's a very, very complicated process, and it'll wear you out if you let it. Dana did not. As a result, we have a very comprehensive metals and welding program that kids can earn up to 15 college credits.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very impressive. Advanced placement classes, we have 30%. CTE courses, this is an interesting statistic. 63% of our students are involved in a CTE program of one kind or another. It tells us that there's huge interest in those programs. And it also validates our efforts in bolstering those programs, both on the district level. The district was very instrumental in that metals concurrent enrollment program, by the way. And we're putting money into CTE programs more and more now. Even our community council is kind of shifting that financial dynamic from core classes, academic classes, to include CTE. And under school demographics, you can see our enrollment last year was 434. We have 413 students right now. We dropped by about 20, and that's consistent with, I think, the numbers district-wide. So I think the PACE report card looks quite favorable for our school. The next page, you can see those enrollment numbers for the last few years and where we're at this year. At the bottom, I have taken numbers, enrollment numbers that Jed provided for administrators in September and looked at the junior highs. From those numbers and the number of seniors that we'll be losing, we're looking at 431 students next year. Now, obviously, that's not going to be an exact number. That's going to change. So, but
looks
it's
better.
Promising.
Yeah.
We've in the last 2 days we've enrolled two new students. Is that right? Two. One today.
Our number today is 419.
419.
Oh, good.
So I'm a little off there. That's good to know. And then just a few odds and ends, faculty and staff. We welcome Brandy Tuttle to our language arts department this year. She's doing an excellent job. It's hard to even tell that she's a first year teacher. She has hit the ground running. She is technologically savvy. The kids relate well to her. We're very fortunate to have her. And she's from Greenville.
Yes, she is.
Married in Orangeville, tells us.
Yeah.
We had the retirement of Mike Kava, our auto teacher. We do have a substitute there, Chandler Peacock, doing a great job. And then we recently had retirement of Joanne Farr, one of our custodians. And that position right now is being advertised. Otherwise, the staff has stayed pretty much the same. Once you get here, you never want to leave.
No.
STEM Ed, again, the counseling department is very heavy into pursuing all opportunities in STEM education. Ashley worked very hard to get a computer programming, AP computer programming online class, which is proving to be very meaningful to students. That is just like our other AP programs. We've also added Math 1050. Josh White teaches that class, STEM class. We're looking at some progressive STEM classes depending on the direction that the STEM grant goes. It's currently being facilitated by the Service Center, I believe. Right now, that's kind of up in the air, but there's a lot of potential with that. On-track teacher evaluations, we finally got that thing going. Mr. Gordon and I, after sweating bullets for a couple of days, got the training and got fully certified. Fully certified.
Or certifiable.
Everybody from Emory District that went that training got the certification, so that was great. And evaluations are underway using the on-track USOE evaluation system, and we struggled with that for a couple of years. Our student involvement is up. It is, and when I say involvement, it's kids enrolling in clubs, organizations. We talked about some of those, but also attending things, being there, supporting the others. At the top of one of the previous pages, I say this every morning in announcements, but we're all Emory High Spartans. Let's support each other for the good of the school. And I think kids are kind of taking that to heart. You know, let's work together to make this the best we can. And so we're seeing huge increases in kids participating. And that is very gratifying to me because we've worked on it long and hard. It's a difficult thing to do. It requires a whole cultural shift to get to that point, but I think we're arriving. So, and it does include the addition of girls soccer and youth coalition. I've had other students come and ask about starting a club and getting things underway, what they need to do. So, we have a very active administrative team. Mr. Gordon and I and our counselors work diligently in presentations to our learning strategies classes. The first round in class was, here we are, this is who we are, we're very human, what do you want to know? It's a transparency, you know, what questions do you have, what ideas do you have? Right now we're just about finished up with our sharp survey data presentations. Ashley talked about those in her presentation. Data about our school, data that can drive change and really define who we are and what we need to improve on. We're in a learning strategies class just about every day. Counselors have things that don't involve Mr. Gordon and I, and we have things that don't involve them, but most of it is working together as an administrative team. We also have a number of safety nets to help students, and I'm very proud of these. These things take a long time to develop. Our programs that are successful, like homework class, for example, or our Nuestra Casa rewards program, they need a lot of nurturing. And you can't just start the ball rolling and see a little success and assume that it's there, it's in place, let's move on. It takes diligent effort on the part of a lot of people to sustain these programs, but I believe that that's where we're at with all of these things right now, ways of helping students. There is a chart in our handbook, kind of a flow chart, that directs students to different resources to get help, whether it's homework class, or whether it's counseling office, or whether it's outside intervention. But we're here to help kids, and we want them to know that we have resources. And so the last page is just a calendar. I want to point out we have a choir concert coming up, beautiful Christmas concert, same with band, coming up December 9th and 10th. We have a blood drive coming up with Sterling Scholars early in January. This will be the second one. We've already held one with great success, and some other things. Monday the 25th, our Integrity Council meets. We meet once a month. The Integrity Program is also outlined in the handbook, but this deals with not only dealing with situations of lying, stealing, and cheating, and following up with discipline reports along those lines, and discussing not just here was a problem, but is this a problem that is solvable? Is this a problem that is growing? You know, we're addressing the issues in this council. But more importantly, this council also rewards students for acts of positive integrity. We get nominations all the time from faculty members about kind deeds, unsolicited deeds, turning in found items, and we give those kids a certificate and a candy bar, and we get a lot out of a certificate and a candy bar. It means a lot to those kids. Simple acts. It's kind of our act of integrity, I guess, to reward those kids. So a lot going on here. Emory High by the numbers. A lot of these numbers may include some part-time people that aren't here all day, some that have multiple roles, but it's a lot of people, a lot of great people dedicated to their jobs and to the people they serve. I've been working with Jana K. Wall. She's been here a lot as an administrative intern. We will have a student teacher here from Price next semester. She'll be working with Neil and Diane Carter, and just a great bunch of people to work with. So that's a lot. I apologize for taking so much time, but I'm pretty proud of what we're doing.
Well, I just have to say I'm very impressed with this. It gives us a glimpse into your workings at the school. So we appreciate the depth you've gone into and explaining and helping us understand what's going on. And in doing so, we can see that you care about each student individually. You work on that to try and build them. There's an attitude here that we want everybody to succeed. That comes through loud and clear. There's diligent efforts to make our schools the best here, and that you have high expectations for your students, and I think that is because of the staff and that work here and the teachers and administrators. So thank you. We really do appreciate that. It reflects well on our district what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Business administrator's report.
I don't have anything tonight.
Superintendent?
The only thing that I have left that's been mentioned by Mr. Davis is I did send you a copy of the letter of retirement, mm-hmm. Joanne Farr, which is effective after the holidays. And as he mentioned, it is being advertised as we speak. just a reminder to you that the Utah School Boards Association convention, as Jared mentioned, is that first part of January, and look forward to that. The survey that we have going of parents, community members goes till Friday, and then hopefully we can put together a booklet for you of the final results of that, and then continue that discussion. And I did send some information about some proposals that have to do with the Cass Valley Center, and we'll have a discussion about that in the future also when Carbon District decides to tell us what they want to look at. But other than that, for this part of the meeting, I don't have anything, but we will need personnel closed session.
Thank you for that. Any public comments? Neil? Oh, go ahead.
Do you know approximately how many have responded to the survey yet?
I haven't studied it in depth, but John, I think there's 450. Thought it might be more than that, but that's where we're at right now, the numbers as far as the total that have taken it.
Neil?
I don't want to take long, but I do need to take a minute. I'm representing the Emory Education Association, but before I do that, I do want to just let you know that you don't get on top of a mountain by falling there, and that we have really good leaders in this school, and Mr. Davis is fairly humble about this, quite humble about this, but he's been an incredibly good principal. He has a great vice principal, and we have wonderful counselors that I just love to tease. But
poor man.
But I'm telling you, the things that have happened don't happen by accident.
Right.
So I just want to back that up. I wanted to tell you that the golf team finished the highest we ever had in state, mm-hmm. at sixth mm-hmm. place. We also had an all-state golfer, which I think is Emory High's first all-state golfer this year.
Who was it?
It's Race Nielsen.
Oh.
So, and we had McCoy Holt that was second team, and Kyler Farley that was honorable mention. So.
Wow.
Also, Mr. Davis mentioned the Integrity Awards. Three of my students received an Integrity Award, and I nominated them. I just wanted to tell you about them real quickly. We went to the Utah Shakespearean Festival. And if you've been down there recently, they're under construction. They're building new theaters. They're giving up their old theaters. In that construction, they had one of their handicapped accesses blocked off. And as we were leaving a play, this little lady, this sweet little older lady at the top of the stairs had no way to get down the stairs because that handicapped access was blocked off. And her daughter left her and ran to get a car to drive up and pick her up a little closer. And she was there by herself and decided she would try to take her walker and come down those stairs. And three of my drama students saw that, ran up, and helped her down so that when her daughter arrived with the car, she was at the bottom of the stairs. And these three girls did this without being asked. Nobody told them, go do this. They just saw a need and took care of it. Well, I nominated them. And they received Integrity Awards and a candy bar. And when I gave it to them, all three of them, not together, but each individually turned it down. They said, that's not why we did it. We didn't do it to get a candy bar. And I said, I know, but you still get the candy bar. So that was it. That's a great program, and we have wonderful students like that. Okay, enough of that. I will take just a couple of minutes, and I'm sorry, but I want to thank you and tell you I know you believe just like I do, maybe even more so, as I've talked with the superintendent. He's more adamant about what I'm about to tell you than I am, and I'm pretty adamant. And so I want to thank you for believing the same way I do, but I've been talking to teachers, and they want me to tell you something. We knew this evaluation system that's coming at us head on was going to be bad. I don't think anybody doubted that it was not going to be well received by teachers. I'm here to report it's not. This is the stupidest thing the state of Utah has done for an awfully long time. It is now a case of the emperor's new clothes. We are dressing things up as a state and getting nothing for it. This does not help students. of the district to go hire the best teachers. It is not working that way. This law takes us from an art of teaching to a science of teaching, and now to trying to make teachers mere technicians in teaching. Information delivery systems, and we're more than that. This law turns principals into the enemy of teachers, and it has never been that way and never should be that way. It changes the teachers so their focus is no longer on kids, but on test scores and evaluations. It changes students so they are not people, they are only numbers that we can get to put on a report. We have students that will spend 18 days this year out of class taking tests. 18, that's a funny number, isn't it? Out of 180, what is that? And do you find it at all? I find it terrible. If anybody ever accuses me of trying to get kids not to opt out of tests, I do just the opposite. We need our smart kids taking the tests. But does anybody find it funny that it's the really, really smart kids in our school that are opting out of taking these tests? If these tests were building students, would that be the case? Now, I just want to mention, I meet with teachers from all over the state every month. And I met with a teacher from the San Juan School District. He's their San Juan Education Association president. I have almost never met a teacher as discouraged as this guy. Now, San Juan had a great year this year. They only had 30 teachers turnover. The average for the last 5 years has been 36 teachers. So they had a good year this year. Some of their schools have been put on, I don't know what to call it, intensive program assistance.
Program improvement.
Yeah. These people, these teachers, who are many of them not even certified teachers, are doing their best with Navajo students that have a different culture. Because they have been put on this kind of a situation, they hired a company from New Jersey to come in and get things straightened out for them with the Navajo students. So far, that's not worked out.
Who did the state?
And San Juan, the state ordered it. San Juan School District is looking for anybody who can help them turn schools around when you're losing more than half your teachers in the school every year. I think it's important that we realize that there, but for the grace of God, go we. This can come to our door, too, if we're not careful. As I mentioned recently at Green River, and Superintendent and Jared and Laurel and Jeb and were there, teachers, to a huge extent, come from teaching families. Would you agree, Eric, whose mom's a teacher? You all know where we get a large number of our teachers from teaching families. I just want to report on my family real quick. My dad was a teacher. He taught a few of you. Had 11 children. 7 of them became teachers. 6 of them still are teachers. One decided to, he would rather make a living. 6 are still teachers out of those 11. My mom and dad have 58 grandchildren. Not one of them is a teacher, and not one of them is planning on being a teacher. Why? Is it because they didn't know that the job doesn't pay super well? No, every one of us knew that. It's because of the craziness that's being dropped on us. If I had my way, I will teach till I die. The only thing that will make me retire, will it be the students? Not a chance. I love them. Will it be my fellow teachers? I love them. Will it be our administration? No way. We have the best in the state. It will be our state legislature that forces me out of education. I want you to know that. Now, why am I here? Knowing that you believe just like I do. I have recently been encouraged by teachers, a few teachers, not very many, a few, that we as a teachers just tell the state we're not going to do this. Now, that is not my style. They simply want us just to just not fill out the paperwork, and when we're come to be evaluated, just decline, take the day off, do something. Well, that's not going to help anything. We will keep the law. We will obey the law. But in obeying the law, we are also going to turn around and say the emperor has no clothes. And this is not a UAA plan. This is not an NEA plan. This is Emory Education Association. We are going to tell all of our parents and every other person we can tell out there that this is bad for kids. This is bad for kids. This is bad for teachers. This is bad for districts. This is bad for towns. We are going to tell everybody that. Now, it's not that we're afraid to be evaluated. We had a perfectly good evaluation system in place before this came along. It had been state approved and it was working just fine. The legislator who decided this did not even know that the districts had evaluation programs in place when he passed this law. And he, by the way, yesterday resigned from the legislature so he doesn't have to face this. We're not afraid to be evaluated. But we don't want something that wastes our time, takes up to 16 hours just to fill out the paperwork for it for every teacher, something that is not made to view you as innocent until proven guilty, but instead every teacher here is a bad teacher until they can prove themselves innocent. This is bad, and we're going to be telling everybody about this. And I guess what I'm doing is asking all of you and all of you to join with the teachers in this district in letting your friends and your neighbors and everybody around know this is not good for kids. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. We appreciate that. I think that's, I did appreciate your comments when we were in Green River. I think you had a great impact. You had them as an audience, and I think that it did have an impact on them. And this further punctuates, you know, those meetings that we have. So thanks for that insight. Any other public comments before we go to closed meeting? If not, thank you for being here. We appreciate that. We will have a motion then to go into closed meeting.
I'll make a motion that we go into a closed meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you so much.
They're all anxious to get home to see the second half of the UWYU basketball.
Oh.
There are some refreshments over here.
Thank you.
Thank you.